Welcome to this week's podcast of Breakthrough Church from Bayswater in Melbourne, Australia. For more details and further resources, visit breakthrough.org.au. We hope you enjoy today's message. My name is Caitlin. It's my privilege to speak here today and share with you what God's put on my heart. I'm a team member here. I've grown up in this church. My husband Cam and I are so privileged to be a part of this community. I've been here my whole life, not only because I want to be, but also because my parents, Pastor Peter and Christine, are the pastors of this church. And I'm blessed to be here. But you know what? I say that honestly. I'm not here because my parents are the pastors. You know, maybe when I was little, I was. Maybe when I was three, I didn't make a conscious choice to make Breakthrough my church. I just sort of float along with where I was taken. But there was a significant point in my life, and I was about 13 years old. And I remember being in church, and that was such a shaping year for me because God really shook my heart, and He challenged me to be like, "Why are you here? Why are you here?" And that was the year I transitioned from coming to church because that's what my parents did, to I changed that I was at here because I had a living relationship with God, and I was here because I wanted to follow God. And then I started appreciating Breakthrough as a church, and I realized very quickly that if my parents left, I would stay. Because I was called to Breakthrough. My heart connected to the calling of Breakthrough in the church, and I love this church. I'm not here because, you know, I've sort of grown up here and never thought to leave. I'm here because my heart is so deeply called to the heart of Breakthrough. So it is my absolute privilege to be here. And like I said, Pastor Peter is my dad here, and just a bit of a funny story. We had. Let me move on, he says. No. See, that's the privilege of being the daughter, is that you get all the stories told about you on stage when pastor's preaching, and then when we flip it, I am fully intending to use my power to its full capacity this morning. But very recently we had a meeting at this church. It wasn't actually a Breakthrough meeting, but another ministry had come and had hired out our church. And was just using our church, and because we had sort of connected with the ministry before, we offered to volunteer and to provide some volunteers for it. So like I said, it wasn't sort of our meeting. The people coming were a part of a different ministry, but we came to volunteer. So I was standing on the door, and I was volunteering, and people started coming in, and a group of women came in, and they were sort of sitting there a little bit like, I won't say it, but they were sitting there. And then I came past and, like, "Excuse me," you know, called me over. So I was like, "Oh, yeah, hi, how can I help you?" And they said, you know, started sort of quizzing me about the church. And they said, you know, "How big is this church? And how long has it been here?" And, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I was just answering the questions. And they said, "Who's the pastor of this church?" And I said, "Oh, it's Pastor Peter Lewis." And then I turned around and Dad happened to be just, you know, a little way away. And I said, "Oh, actually, see that man over there with the red hair? That's the pastor." And they looked at him and then they said, "Oh, so it's a young people's church," and moved on. And I was like, "How old do you think he is?" like Dad's going to love that comment. Like, yes, it is a young people's church. And like, "Oh, okay, just another young pastor." I was like, "Oh, he will take that as a badge of honor. He will not be, you weren't intending that as a compliment, but he will take it on. He will take it on as one." So I said, "Oh, you know, we're actually quite a diverse church." And they said, "Oh, no, it's, you know, young people." I'm like, "All right, no worries. Have a good night." You know, I'll move on. But yeah, I was like, "Oh, there you go, Dad, a young people's church." But I...
Why is this funny?
Yeah, I don't know why it's funny and why I felt to share that, because obviously we all just know that it's a young people's church. in seriousness, I want to, particularly today being Father's Day, I want to honour my father, Pastor Peter Lewis, for giving me the joy of speaking today. And I want to dedicate this message to to my father, Pastor Peter, and also to my grandfather, David Ricky, who was the pastor of this church before my father was. I have grown up in an incredible legacy of great men of God who have trained us and who have led this church really well. So I'm going to dedicate this message to both Pastor Peter, my father, and my grandfather, David Ricky. And that's a bad thing to say because now I'm crying. So Pastor Ricky has passed on and is now living his reward. He's having the best day out of any of us today in heaven. Okay, so today, what I'm going to share on today, it's a bit of a different message that I want to share. Today is a very informal sort of message, just family, chatting with family. Last week, we were looking, at the calendar ahead for the church, and Dad said to me, he goes, "Hey, do you want to preach next Sunday? We've got, an opening, I'd love you to preach." And I said, "Yeah, sure," because, I love preaching, and I've always got a resource of sort of messages that I'm ready to preach and wanting to preach, because whenever God's working in concept in my heart, it often comes out in the form of a message, and I write it, and then so there's a whole bunch of messages sitting there just waiting for a chance for me to share. And I was thinking, oh, it's only a week away, that's fine, because I've got like this resource of messages that I can go and pick from. There's plenty that would be good. There was actually a message on family, which I thought, oh, that'll be perfect. That's the one I'll use because it's on family. It'll fit in with the concept of Father's Day, and, that'll be perfect. But then as I was sort of praying throughout the week, it never really settled in my heart, and it never sort of clicked in my heart as saying, yeah, that's what God wants. Like, they're all great messages, and I believe have a great time, but none of them were just sitting and fitting well. So as I started praying and preparing, and I was just sitting down and said, okay, God, none of these are kind of clicking in place. What is it that you want me to share today? What is it that you want to share tonight? And I believe he revealed to me in my heart what he wanted to share. And it was just something that has been burning in my heart the past few weeks, burning in my husband Cam's heart the past number of weeks. And I just really felt it was to share it today. And it all started in a few weeks ago. Cam and I had the privilege to go to America, and we went to California for 2 weeks, which was we had an incredible time. We went to Disneyland, so I'm not going to preach about Disneyland, but that is very close to my heart. But we had a great time in California, but we also stayed with an incredible couple over there who some of you would know, and their name is Glenn and Holly Duncan, and they are actually a very big integral part of this church here, and they came to our church about 20 years ago, or probably more than that, 30 years ago, and they were from America, came here, immediately became a part of the church, and just really connected to the heart of Breakthrough, what was then called Blackburn AOG, and connected to my grandfather, and also connected to my parents a lot, to Graham and Judith, and to the people here, and they were a really integral part of this church for a number of years before God called them back to America, much to the sadness of everyone here, but God had a journey for them to continue in America. But Cam and I were able to go and stay with them over in California for 2 weeks, and we had a great time. They're an incredible couple, and we just had a great time chatting. We talked about God, we talked about all sorts of things, and there was one night in particular which really went off in my heart, and that was the night that, if anyone knows Glenn, you know that he's not picky, but he's very particular about his food and what he likes to eat, and there's this one restaurant that he really likes eating at, this Italian restaurant, which is incredible, so we went there quite a few times, because he knows what kind of food he likes, and we went to this Italian restaurant. We had a great time with him, and it was one of the times we were sitting there, and we were just having dinner, and we were just sharing and talking about church, and then suddenly Glenn was just stopped, and he's like, "You know what, guys? I'm tired. And he started just pouring out his heart of what God has been working in his heart for the church as a whole, for the church, for the Christians of this generation, for what God wants to do in this world and what God wants to do. And he just started pouring out his heart. And we talked about it a bit before that, but in this moment, it was just like it just came flooding out. And Cam and I were sitting there just soaking it in and getting so stirred up in our hearts and in our hearts, just really receiving it. And then we're sitting there, and he's like, "You've got to take this message to Australia. You've got to take this back to your church. You guys have got to run with this in Australia." And we were saying, "Yes, amen. We believe that." And ever since that night, I went home and I was so stirred in my heart, and I was so stirred as we came home in Cam, and I've talked about it a lot since. And, we've just been praying about it and crying out for it. So that's where what I'm going to share about started today. As I started preparing, I was just like, none of the messages were fitting together. And I felt God say something to me. And I was just sitting there, and I was looking, I had my notebook out, I was looking at all the different messages. And God said, "Stop. Just turn around." And I got my laptop out, and he said, "Just write." He said, "Just start writing what is truly deep down in your heart. Let what is bubbling in your heart just overflow and just start typing. You don't even think about your message. Don't think about what you're going to share. Just type as if you're journaling to me specifically. And I said, okay. And he said, just start reaching deep down, because all these things are good, but there is something deep down in your heart that's really burning, and let that just flow out. And I started typing, and so that's what I want to share today. And like I said, it's different. This is not your typical message with a great title, a funny illustration to start off with, and 3 points, you know, to bring it together, because those are all great messages. And I was like, God, this isn't like a typical message. This is different. This is very informal. This is really just what God is working in my heart and through my heart at the moment, and I'm just inviting you in on that journey. I'm going to say I don't have it all perfect yet. I'm still studying. I'm still understanding. But I just want to share with you and invite you on that journey of what God's doing in my heart, because, you know, we're all family here. So let's just, you know, the same fire that was ignited in us, I want to give the opportunity to ignite in you, and just explore these concepts together. So I just want to share, when I turn to write on my laptop, I just want to just read out what just flowed out of my heart. And like I said, this isn't about breakthrough. Don't start thinking I'm having a go at the church. I love this church. This is about me and my life as a Christian, and me thinking about the church as a whole, in terms of, you know, Australia at the moment, in terms of the world, in terms of Christians and culture at the moment. This is what was, and just in my own life, what I'm desiring in my life pouring out. So I'm just going to read what I wrote. Bear with me that if it's, you know, I'm sort of sharing my journal with you, but not like too personal. I'm not going to say, dear diary, today I went here, and no. This is just what poured out of my heart. So I wrote, I said, I want more. God, I want more of God. I want that new thing Pastor Bruce talked about. I'm just going to hold there. That a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Bruce Hills spoke an incredible message at this church talk titled New Thing, and encouraging the church that God wants us to give us a new thing. If you haven't heard it, please go back and listen to it online, because a lot of what I'm referencing today stemmed from that as well. So I want that new thing Pastor Bruce talked about. I want to go deeper in God. I'm tired of the mediocre. I'm tired of complacency. I'm tired of having to care more about what people think and offending people than pleasing God. I'm tired of being too busy to go after God truly. I'm tired of settling for less than what Jesus paid for. God, I want more. Deep down, this is what is bubbling out of my heart. I'm tired of Christianity fitting into a neat box. I'm tired of fitting church into neat boxes. I'm tired of having to worry about how people might think, what people think of our services, if they're too long or that they want to get out to lunch. I'm tired of giving God the tiniest portion of our lives. I'm tired of having to worry about what I say and what people would think. I'm tired of not seeing healings manifested. I'm tired of not growing in God. I don't want superficial highs. I don't want emotional experiences, but I want God. And God is messy. God is invasive. God takes over every part of my life. I want to give you my all. I want to give him everything. I want that new thing. I want the Spirit to break out in our midst. I want revival. I want a generation that is not afraid to stand up for God. I want a generation who love Jesus with all their hearts. I want to let go of the past. I want to go all in. I want to see a move of God in our children. I want to see a move of God in our teenagers, in our young adults, in our community, in our schools. I want people to start coming to church because not because we are having to convince them, because they hear, they see the wonderful things God is doing, and they see that and want to come, and they catch the fire. I want complacent people for us to wake up, wake up. These last days could be so spectacular. God is ready to move. But do we actually want it? Are we willing to make room? Jesus, I'm tired of giving you 50%. I'm tired of not having time to pray. I'm tired of being so busy with life that along the way I somehow stopped giving my first time to you. I'm tired of not praying, of not having passionate prayer groups that meet together to pray, to see God move, to see God move and pray for the lost. My grandpa left me with a message, and I want to run with it. He left us with a mandate, with a calling, with a challenge, with a baton, and I want to run with it. You know, so that was just what was flowing out of my heart, this desire to say, God, I'm tired of settling. I'm tired of just mediocre, of just going through the motions. God, I'm ready to see more of you. I want to see you move. You know, when we're talking to Glenn in America, it was so much of he said, the church has, you know, has become so busy, has become so neat, become so perfect. And he said, you know, the Spirit moving is not something that we talk about anymore. We're not crying out for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. We're not crying out for the Holy Spirit to move in our churches. And that's where this is coming from, the fact that, God, I want to go to that next level. I want to see it. I'm tired of just living life. I want to see God radically step in and change my life. I want to see him change our generation, to change our church, to change our community, to change this world. I truly believe we're living in the last days. The Bible talks about the last days, and there are so many things which are pointing to the fact that time is running out on this earth. But there is also so much in the Bible of what God wants to do in these last days. But it's time for the church to stand up and say, we are crying out for that. We are hungry for that. We are wanting that. Because so much of my heart there was saying, you know what, we want God to move, but do we really? Do we really want God to move? Because God's invasive. God's messy. God is inconvenient. God can be embarrassing. You know, do we say, God, move. We want to touch the lost. We want to be your lights. But do we really? Deep down, are we just saying that, or are we ready for God to shake us and say, yes, I'm ready to go all in. I'm ready for the good, the ugly, the messy. I'm ready for all of it. But God, because I so want to see you move. I want more, just like Pastor Bruce talked about. I want that new thing. And I said, this is not our church, but I'm just talking about the church in general. And they're so sad. So many things are happening. You know, just these past few weeks, you all would have seen on the news, there's been lots of things come out of famous Christians stepping down in their faith, or famous Christians coming out and saying that they're giving up their faith and they've learnt that God is not the way anymore. And there has been so much media coverage about that. And one of the things that has saddened me the most, because I started like looking into it, is, you know, obviously I'm incredibly sad for people who have, you know, stepped away from the faith. But what's saddened me the most is some of the response that has come. Because some of the responses said, oh my gosh, maybe we're making people feel uncomfortable in church. Maybe the church just needs to simmer down a little bit. You know, maybe we need to stop saying things that might offend, or stop saying things that might make people feel uncomfortable. We need to make our church just a little bit quieter, a little bit more easy and nicer, so that everybody feels welcome. Everybody feels, you know, everyone feels okay when they're at church. And, you know, like, I'm all for people feeling loved and embraced and welcome in a church. I don't care what you've come from. I don't care what you believe in. I don't care what you stand for. You are welcome in this place, and I will love you and I will embrace you. But I don't want you to stay the way you came in. I don't want to stay the way I came into church. I want people to come to church and hear about a God, hear about a truth that can set them free, that can transform, that can bring healings, that can see all that God wants us to be. But that the church, there is so much pressure to say, hey, you know, just simmer down. Just let's start putting Christianity back into its neat little box of what, you know, all the things in life. We've got our work, we've got our family, we've got our social life, we've got church when it fits in, and we've got this and we've got that. You know, God can just fit around that. But I'm saying no, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of being told that's what we should do. I want to go all in. This is my cry to go all in. You know, and I know that is the heart of this church. That is the heart of so many people here. You know, I'm not saying, hey, I've lost my way, God, I've lost God. I'm just saying, God, I want to go the other direction. I don't want to just sit in the middle. I want to go as far that way as I can in you, and I want more of you. You know, I want that new thing. And I want to just say to begin with that this message isn't about condemnation. This is not me saying, you should do more, you should do more. Come on, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you doing more? That is not my heart at all. This is a message of hope and encouragement. You know, Pastor Bruce talked about in 1 Timothy where it says, stir the fire, fan into flame the fire, stir up the spirit in you, stir up the fire and hunger in you. That's what this is today about, to say, hey, I know this is your heart. I want to encourage that. I want to stir our fire to say, hey, we want all that God has for us. So I started reading the Bible, and I'm going to invite you to journey with me through Acts. I've left my Bible down there somewhere. I just realized. I think it's on the ground. Yes, at the bottom there. The Bible helps when you want to preach. But I want to invite you into Acts 2. Again, like I said, I just want to journey with us through this and explore some of these concepts for a few minutes. We're not going to be able to explore everything. There was so much that I started reading and writing down, but I just want to, you know, and like I said, start that fire, start that passion in you, and see where God takes us in here. Lord, just before we read this, I want to pray, and God, I say, oh God, I just ask you to take us where you want to take us. Holy Spirit, guide this. Lord, may you stir such a fire in all of us. May us catch the heart of God crying out to this generation, the heart of God that is calling out to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I started thinking about this concept, and after writing all that down, I just started reading Acts, which is an Acts in the Bible is where Jesus had just left earth. So he'd come, he'd died on the cross, he'd risen again, he'd spent time again with his disciples, and he'd left them with the Great Commission, what we know now as the Great Commission, to go into all the worlds and spread the gospel. And Acts kind of picks up where that leaves off of the disciples and their journey after Jesus and what life looked like after Jesus had come and radically changed the world and left. This is what it looks like. So let's start in Acts 2, and I'll just start reading through and some of the things that when I said, God, I want to see your spirit move, which is particularly what Glenn in America was talking most. He's hungry to see the spirit move, so strongly. And I was saying, God, what does it look like when the spirit moves? Okay, I want the Holy Spirit to move. Sometimes, you know, the church can have a bad picture of that because, like Dad said before, people misuse gifts. And sometimes, you know, something like this, things have been put under the guise of the Spirit moving, and that can give us bad impressions, that can give us bad images, that can give us bad experiences that sort of turn us away from it completely because, you know, things are strange and things are weird. I'm not wanting that. I said, God, I want to go to the Bible and see, what does it look like in the Word? What does your Bible, what does it look like in the Bible when you said the Spirit moves? And that's what I'm seeking to say. What happens when you know, the Holy Spirit gets involved? So Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. So when the day of Pentecost arrived, verse 1, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus has left and he promised to send them their spirit. So here they are gathered together and he has just sent the Holy Spirit to come and fill them. The first thing that happened was they began to speak in other tongues. They began to speak in other languages. That was one result of the Spirit moving. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native tongue?" A man called something and something and something and residents of something else and Judea and something and Asia and something and something in Egypt and the parts of Libya and belonging to something and visitors from Rome. There we go. Would you believe I'm not a geography teacher? One thing I didn't get from my grandfather, he was a geography expert, that missed me. Both the Jews and everybody came and they said, "We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." Let's just stop there for a minute. So basically, they were gathered together. The disciples, the Christians around them who had been impacted by Jesus were gathered together, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came and changed the world forever because they came and they filled them. And I was saying, okay, so what does it look like when the Spirit came? They were by themselves, the Spirit come. And again, first thing was that they were filled with other tongues. Second, they said, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews and then devout men. And then they said, at this sound, the multitude came together. So something happened when the Spirit was there that it was loud enough for the multitude to hear and to come. The Holy Spirit didn't come neatly. It didn't come quietly. It didn't come just for them. The first thing that I learned from this passage was that it was messy and loud enough for multitudes to hear and to come. So I said, okay. So then they came. And then again, they were speaking in other tongues. And then we move on when everybody from all the different parts of the wonderful world came together. And then they heard them telling in their own tongues the mighty works of God. So that's the second thing I learnt there. The fact that the Spirit was giving glory to God. That what the Spirit was saying through them was turning people back to God and marveling over the mighty works of God. They didn't know what they were saying. They were speaking and they were just filled with the Spirit. But their voices were bringing glory and were pointing people back to God. And people heard in their own languages. And it said all that they were saying was the mighty works of God. That another point of when the Spirit comes to move, it's messy. It brings other tongues, but also it points people back to the mighty works of God. It immediately brings people back, people's eyes to God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, what does this mean? But others mocked and said, they are filled with new wine. That's another point of what happened when the Spirit came. They looked like they were drunk. They looked like they were drunk. You know, and I said, that's a point where I said it's people have enjoyed using that concept of feeling like they can look drunk, and sometimes it doesn't always go back to Spirit. We need to hear each point in the context of everything that happened in the moving of a Spirit. I'm not saying that we all just go and get drunk and say, hey, look, I'm filled with the Spirit. You know, there's easier ways to look drunk. but I'm saying that we hear all of these things in the context of everything that happened when the Spirit came. But it does say that, though. It was messy. People were so filled with Jesus that people said something has happened to them. I don't know what, but they look different than what they looked like before this. So the Spirit changes. It makes you look different. It makes you full of God in a way that is not natural, because people said this is not a natural way for a human to act. The only thing they could describe it was wine, because they don't understand what else could change a person so drastically and so amazingly. So the Holy Spirit changes us. All right, let's keep reading down. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Another thing that will come out of the Spirit, prophecies will come. Your young men will see visions. These are all things that will flow out of the moving of the Spirit. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, meaning everybody, in these days will I pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Another thing that comes out of moving of the Spirit, signs and wonders will flow. We'll look at that more. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then Peter keeps speaking and he says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know that this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. I'm going to skip ahead because if you keep reading, Peter just goes on and starts sharing the gospel, just starts pouring out the gospel to him. And he just starts sharing everything. And then let's jump down to verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls our God to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. Let's just stop there. 3,000 souls. That's amazing. So again, another point that as I was reading, I said, I was just reading this, and I was like, oh, so many things coming out. the fact that another result of when the Spirit moves, it gave Peter a chance to share the gospel. It gave Peter a chance to share what Jesus had done, to share the truth of the gospel. He preached for a long time. It said many other words he used, basically saying Peter just then preached the good news of Jesus. He shared the testimony of Jesus. He shared the truth of God. And then through that, people were saved. Souls were saved. Let's move on a little bit, then we'll stop and look. And then verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their home, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's just incredible. There is so much packed into that little passage. I'm just going to mention things because each of these things could be a message by themselves. But other things that followed from the moving of the Spirit, that then, after people were saved, they then devoted themselves. To move in the Spirit, it takes dedication. It takes commitment. It takes devoting yourself to the teaching of the Lord and to fellowship together. I thought that was interesting that I put that in, that they devote themselves to fellowship with other Christians and the breaking of bread and prayer. They devoted themselves to all these things. That was a key part of this continuing to happen, because they said once they devoted themselves to this, then all came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So through that devotion, many signs, many wonders, many miracles happened after God. There are so many other things, you know. They helped feed the needy. They provided for those who were in need. They distributed gifts and money and food to those who need it. They had favor with people. And the last verse there, which is, again, the most exciting verse to me, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. There is so much packed into that scripture, but basically when I was reading, I was saying, God, what does it look like for people who are radically on fire for you, who are filled with the Spirit? What does that actually look like on earth? And there it is. People being filled with the Spirit. It's messy, but every time the Spirit broke out, people were drawn to God. There were signs and the wonders. Every time the Spirit came, it pointed and glorified back to God. The moving of the Spirit brought salvations. It brought freedom. It brought miracles. It brought signs and wonders. It brought a chance for people to preach the word, for people who came and noticed, and then to be taught the word, to be taught the salvation of Jesus, to be given the message of the gospel. You know, it was, like I said, it's not just hype. It's not just big things. It's saying that, hey, it would come and they would hear the word and the truth of Jesus, and people were saved. Moving of the Spirit involved people being devoted to the teachings, being devoted to God, being devoted to the fellowship, being devoted to prayer. This is what the moving of the Spirit looked like. This is what it looked like to be filled with God. You know, and as I started reading through, I couldn't stop. I just started reading chapter after chapter after chapter in Acts. And we don't have time to go into all of them today. We might look at one more. But as I just started reading, it was like the same story but different. Same story but different place. Same story but different place. It was people filled with the Spirit of God and just saying, God, what does it look like? What does it look like to be filled with your Spirit? What does it look like to actually be so full of Jesus? To not be complacent, to not be fitting you into a neat little box, to be so transformed. What does it look like? What results in that? You know, I want to ask this question as we keep going on. What is the new thing God wants to do in this church? What is the new thing he wants to do in you? What is it that we want more of? What is it that we're not seeing that's in here? And that say, God, this is what you've promised us, so I want more. What is it that I need to press in for? I'm going to keep reading in chapter 3. Then I encourage you, you know, if this message is stirred in your heart, keep reading. Keep reading through Acts, through Romans, so many amazing scriptures and passages. All right, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. This is the famous story of a lame beggar healed. But I read this, I've read it many times, but I read it this time with a new light, just taking on that concept of what does it look like? So now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried when they lay daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to ask alms of those who enter the temple. Not alms as in A-R-M. Alms, A-L-M-S. So a beggar was there asking who was lame, asking for money. Seeing Peter and John go about into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, and as did John, and said, now before I want to read what they did, I want to say, you know, if this was me and I was going into church and there was a beggar sitting outside church, you know, or like, you know, if I was going into somewhere and there was a beggar sitting there and asking for money, my first thought, you know, without God in me would be, let me give some money. Let me give some money. Let me help you, you know, in your journey. You know, and that's an easy thing to do. Say, hey, yeah, have some money and walk on. That's what you would naturally do. That's what often happens. Say, hey, let me give you some money and move on, because I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. I don't know where they've been. I don't know their story. I don't know what influences they've already had. I don't know what the situation is, but let me just give you some money and walk on. But Peter, who's full of the Holy Spirit, and John, full of the Holy Spirit, and he said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something. So he was expecting money. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Again, people who were filled by the Spirit, this is what life looked like for them. They came, they saw somebody in need. They didn't do what was easy. They didn't do what was convenient. They didn't do what was expected of them. They didn't do what society told them to do. They said, no, I have a Spirit in me and I want to see that outworked in you. They brought the Spirit of God. So firstly, the Spirit of God brought healing. It brought restoration. It brought freedom. This man was free and healed. But then what really struck me when reading this yesterday is as I went through, it's like it wasn't just the healing it brought, it was what came after the healing. The fact that he was filled with the Spirit, he was filled with God and praising God, and all the people saw him. So again, once again, like we saw before, a moving of the Spirit, an outworking of the Spirit, a sign and a wonder immediately brought the glory and attention back to God. Immediately it pointed everybody and it pointed others back to God. I think Richard's testimony was so good this morning as I was thinking, that's just what I'm sharing on. The fact that what we think God's just doing for us, he's actually doing as well. So other people will see that. Other people will see and be impacted. Other people will see and be changed and pointed to God. So what God worked in him, he brought to other people and praising God. And they all were filled with wonder and amazement. So then as we read on, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us through by your own as though by our own power and Peter, we've made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac did this. And basically, he shared the gospel. So it's same as before. The Spirit moved. A sign and wonder came. People came and were attracted to it. It pointed glory to God. And once again, Peter said, now's my opportunity to share the gospel. Now's my opportunity to share what God has done and what he can. So he shared the gospel. But then what we didn't see in the chapter before, I'm just going to skip down just for time's sake. He said, repent and turn. Repent, therefore, turn again. Come to God. And it shall be that everyone will be saved. So he kept preaching, people were getting saved. And then chapter 4, verse 1, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day. So what also followed a moving of the Spirit was inconvenience because the world did not like it. The religious did not like it. And that is what I'm saying, will follow the moving of the Spirit. What people who are so on fire for God and taking Jesus to the world, it will be inconvenient and the world will not like it. That's what we're seeing in our culture today. The world does not like it. The world does not like it. They are silencing and pushing it down. But my response would have been, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. Yes, I don't want to do anything. I'm sorry. Yep, let me, let me hold back. I've just been thrown in jail for healing a man. My response would have been, hey, God, just let us get out of here and I don't want to cause any more issues with them. But that was so opposite what Peter and John did. In verse 8, so they're thrown in jail. Verse 8, Peter said, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, rulers and people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed, basically he starts preaching the gospel to the people that threw them in jail. He stood back up. He said, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And he preaches the gospel to the people who threw him in jail. He did not silence. Without God in me, I would have been fairly silenced and fairly rattled, being thrown in jail for what I've just done. But he said, no, come here. I'll tell you too what I'm doing. I'll tell you too about my God. And then it said, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And they said they had nothing to say in opposition. And basically, they said, go, but don't do it again. We're going to let you go, but don't do it again. Please just be silent. I, again, would have said, praise God, he's got me out of this situation. Praise God. But they said, no, don't you dare tell me not to do this again. And they said in verse 19, but Peter and John answered them, whatever is right in the sight of God, to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. And then when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. And then when they went, it goes on again, it talks about again, when they went away, they were released. Again, they've just been told, don't you dare do this again. They're saying no. We're not going to stop. And then they gathered together with the Christians. They gathered together in fellowship and they said, let's pray. Let's pray for boldness to keep going. Let's pray for boldness to take this further. And they strengthened themselves in the Lord. And they said, God, fill us with boldness. Fill us with boldness to not shut up, to not be silenced by what they're telling us, but let us take the Spirit of God into everywhere. And then verse 31, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. You know, there is so much that I could go on about. There is so much you could read. And basically, like I said, as I kept reading, it was like the same thing, just different. The same thing, just different. Every time, there was things that happened every time that the Spirit came and it was messy, it was loud, and it drew attention. And every time it drew attention, it pointed people back to God. And then after pointing people back to God, it gave the opportunity to speak and to minister and to share the gospel, to share the truth of Jesus. Every time people were saved, every time people were healed, every time people were set free, and every time it upset the world more. Every time they were tried to be silenced, and every time they said no, no. And God set them free and they kept going with more boldness, with more miracles, with more people. And I love that scripture where it said, and he added to their number every day. Every day people were being added to know Jesus. People were being set free. People were knowing about this mighty God that was so good. And I'm asking us today, church, this is what I want. I want more. I was like, God, you know what? I said it. This is not condemnation. This is not saying, you know, we should be doing more. This is me crying out and saying, God, this is what can happen. This is what my life can look like. I want to be that. Yeah. I want to do this, but more. I want to see people healed. I want to see outworkings of the Spirit in this place because I want to see us so filled with the Spirit and that attracting people and people coming and seeing the signs and the wonders. I want to see people healed. And every time, God, not only doing that to set people free, but to be an example and a light to everyone else around. I want more. I want to see this. I want to see people come to know Jesus. I want a chance to share the gospel. But that, through the Bible, so many times that comes because they were filled with the Spirit. They're able to share the gospel because they were filled with the Spirit and they were operating in the Spirit. God, I want to see this. I want this new thing. I want to go to a new level. I want you to radically come and change my life. I want you, no area of me to be off limits. I want you to inconvenience me. I don't want church to be put in a little basket of something I do. I want it to be I want church to be the moment when I come back and it's like the disciples gathering together and say, God, let's come together and pray for more boldness to go out and keep working. Let's come together, and I want our church to be like the times when the disciples got together and they said the Holy Spirit came and shook the building, and then there suddenly people were coming and drawing because signs and wonders and miracles were happening here. I want people to come to breakthrough because they hear about what God is doing, because they see the man that they knew, Lord, was lame and walking and leaping, and they say, what happened to you? I want to come to that same God. I want people to come here because we have come and we've been able to feed and help all those that are in need, and they say, who is doing this? I want to come to see that God. I want people to come because their friends and family are so transformed, because the person that had anger issues, the person that had anxiety issues, the person that was so full of fear is now so full of faith, is now so full of peace. The same dad that used to beat them is now the most loving, godly man they've ever seen, because they see the transformation of the Spirit in us. I want them to say, that points me back to Jesus. I want to come and see more of this God. I want to come and hear about this God. I want to have the boldness to then stand up and say, let me tell you. I want to be prepared. I want to be so full of the Word and so full of His teaching that I am ready to come and teach. That they don't come and say, let me tell you about my God, and I say, I don't really know. I want to be so ready and say, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you what He has done. Let me tell you the Scripture. Let me tell you about Jesus. I want to see people healed. I want to see people come. I want to have the boldness that when I'm out in the world, my first thought is not natural, it's supernatural. My first thought is to say, let me pray for you and see you healed. I want God to so transform my life. I want the messy. I want the inconvenient. I want it to be so loud and different that the only way people can describe it is something has changed her, and the only thing I know it to be wine, because nothing else in this world changes somebody so drastically. I want people to say, there is something so different about you. Amen. I want every part of God. I want more. And I believe that is the heart of this church. Musicians, if I ask you to start coming back up, that is my heart. You know, I talked about my grandfather, David Reiki, before. This was so his heart. He preached that in this church week after week after week. He saw revival in Australia. He saw this happening in his spirit. Our pastor, Pastor Peter and Christine, have taken that on and they've run with it. But I'm saying, church, it's up to us. Church isn't about the leaders. It's about the people taking hold and starting that fire and hungering after God. I want to be like the disciples who just gather and they're just praising God, and suddenly the Holy Spirit comes and fills them. I want to be ready. I want to be open. I want to stop putting God in a little box. I want to stop being so busy that I can't actually give Him time or prioritize Him. I want to stop not having time to pray. I want to stop being afraid to mention His name. And then when I am told to stop mentioning His name, I just respond as, I'm going to say it more. I'm going to go out and say it more. Don't you dare tell me not to say Jesus' name, because the Spirit of God is so outworked in me, I cannot help but let it flow out. I cannot help but let it flow out. You know what? There was so much more that I could say, but, you know, I'm feeling just we'll leave it there for now. But I wanted to start a fire in you. I wanted to ignite something in you. There is one thing I will mention. I won't get to speak on it, but I just want to mention a phrase that Pastor Bruce used in his sermon when he was talking about Saul. He said, Saul did not have the character to sustain the anointing God had placed upon him. People have been anointed, but you need the character, you need the devotion to God to carry it through. This isn't about sugar highs. This isn't about rushes. This isn't about one emotional experience to another. God gives us the anointing, but we need the character, commitment, perseverance, devotion, dedication to see it through. God has called us. God has given us His Holy Spirit, and I am tired of not living out to the full potential of what God's done in me. And I'm saying, God, this is my heart. So that was my heart. I'm sorry that that is a bit of just my journey with God at the moment, just flowing out. But I trust that maybe it stirred something in your hearts, like it stirred in our hearts. Maybe something's caught fire in your heart and you're saying, God, I want this. I want to see this. If you haven't already, if you're a part of this church or you're new to this church, there is a message that Pastor George Pearson preached in our church, I reckon over 10 years ago or a while ago. And it was called The Wow Factor. And he prophesied over this church and he said, we want to see the workings of the Spirit in this church. This church will be known for the working of the Spirit. This church will be known as the place where signs and wonders happen. This place will be known where miracles take place. I'm fed up. I'm fed up of Christians being told we should just simmer down, be silenced, be mediocre, just live out in a nice, unmessy life. My God is coming. The Spirit is coming and wanting to invade my heart. And I want to catch that fire and live out and see so many people come to Jesus through the Spirit of God in me. And when I want to ask, is this your heart as well? My heart is to see more of God. My heart is to see Jesus move. My heart is to see the Spirit. And I encourage you in this moment, respond in your heart. Say, God, we want more.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Breakthrough Church. We hope it helps you in your life as a follower of Jesus. If you have any questions or would like someone to talk to or to pray with, we would love to hear from you. You can find all of our contact details at breakthrough.org.au. Have a great week.